Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning and happy Father's Day. Way to start that off with a video like that. Just talks to your heart, right? But I think Father's Day is just an incredible day where we can just celebrate that. So dads, I think really they help us dream, they help us become, they help us grow. I think they're there a lot of times in our life. And it's just, for me, it's an honor to be a father to two crazy kids. So if you see a dad around today, just make sure you tell him Happy Father's Day and just celebrate with him for that. But really, I think dads have a really important part in encouraging our dreams. So that's what we're going to continue to talk about today. We're going to talk a little bit about dreaming. And really, we're going to talk about how our Heavenly Father plays a huge role in dreaming. And our Heavenly Father plays just an incredible way and a part in how we can accomplish our dreams for more of them. So we're in this series entitled Dream, and we're going to continue it today. But before we do, I kind of want to jump in. I want to do a quick announcement, because you're probably wondering, over the last few weeks, you've heard me talk about how we're in this process of acquiring a building, and we're in this project where really we're looking to move, to make a move and go to this new building. So I want to kind of just give you a little bit of update where we are. So this past Friday at 12:30, we actually closed on the new building. All right, perfect. I'm going to say, I'm not one to fish for an amen, but can I get an amen on that, right? Like that's what I'm talking about. So this is what we're going to go through, just to kind of give you a quick update. So pay attention, take notes. We have some actual things that we can put in your hands. So a lot of stuff is going to be changing in the next few weeks, next few months. But it's going to change quickly. Next week, we are actually planning to have our service at the new location, which is 4588 Marion Road. So next week, we are going to be over at the new location, and the goal is to have it running pretty much as is a service, as far as everything goes. We might be missing some of the technology, but we'll have most of it. We might not have all the lighting and all that kind of stuff, but we'll have most of these things, and we will have a full-on kids ministry going on next week. So that's kind of where we're going. So next week, we're going to have our service at 4588 Marion Road. Like, if you show up here, you're going to be by yourself. Or you'll be with somebody else that accidentally showed up here. And then you guys can carpool to the new building if you want to, right? Show up late. It's okay. We'll be fine. But show up next week at 10 a.m. at the new building. And then this week, what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time really getting the building ready. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to open the building up from 6 to 9 p.m. for cleaning. Like, we're going to do a deep clean on this place, like wipe down walls, we're going to clean the carpets, we're going to get this place just sterilized and just clean. So, right? So that's what we're going to do this week, Monday through Thursday from 6 to 9. We probably will open it up during the daytime as well, but you just have to contact me if we can do that and go that route. But from 6 to 9, it will be open Monday through Thursday. We're going to spend some time cleaning. So that's kind of the first part of this process. And then on Saturday from 9 to 4, what we're going to do is we're going to spend a lot of time really taking what's here and moving it. Saturday is going to be our big move day. So we're going to try to move all the kids' stuff that we have there. We're going to move it into the new building. It'll already be clean, so we'll be able just to put it down, get the kids' rooms ready. We're going to do our best to get the projection and move it. And then some of the sound equipment is ours, some is not. So that's why you'll hear me talk a little bit about that later. But our goal is to move all the sound system stuff that we have over to the new building. And then we're blessed enough where we have somebody in the congregation that's going to let us utilize some of their sound equipment in the meantime until we gain the money to get new sound equipment. But we're going to do that, and we're going to try to move everything from 9 to 4. So we're going to have somebody on next Saturday from 9 to 4, we're going to have somebody at the new building, and then we'll have somebody here. And we will tear stuff down here, so we'll probably have all the wiring goes through the ceiling, so if you really like heights and you really enjoy that kind of stuff, get ready to live. If you don't like heights, the new building ceiling is a lot lower, so you can go over there and help in that aspect of it too. So really, that's what we're going to be doing this week. And that's the first process, is really the cleaning and the moving. And then we're going to move to the repair process. And the repair process is going to take place from July 10th to July 24th. So this is the game plan with this anyway. So Again, it's not all going to be according to the funds that come in. We can't necessarily do anything if we don't have funds. And I'll talk to that a little bit later. But we're going to, from July 10th to July 24th, our game plan is to build that wall that we're going to put that's going to divide the sanctuary into the foyer, into the kids' rooms. Our game plan is to build a permanent sound booth, to build a permanent kids' check-in during those 2 weeks, build a permanent info booth during those weeks. And if we have time, which we want to, hopefully we can get a lot of the painting done. So this is what we need your help with. So you're here today, you're thinking like, hey, we're wanting a big move. How can I help, right? Well, we need people with skills. Like, we want to do everything accordingly and don't want it done right. So, like, if you don't have the skills, listen, no offense or anything, but we don't want you, like, painting if you are terrible at painting. We don't want you framing walls if, like, you've never framed a wall before in your life, and then, like, when you put something together, it's always crooked. Like, I know there's some of you guys that are out there like, dude, I pay people to do stuff in my house. It's okay. We don't need you to do that, right? We want people who have skills, whether it's painting, whether framing, whether drywall, septic, plumbing, electricians, carpenter work to build some of these booths. We need people with skills to utilize those. So what we're going to do is we have a bunch of sign-in sheets actually in the back, but we want you to sign your name, we want you to sign your number, and then throw in kind of your availability and how your weekends look, how your weeknights look, maybe you have flexible days, however, whatever you're available, throw it in there, and then put your skill set. So if you don't have a skill set, listen, it's cool. Clean week is the week for you, right? But so that's where I'm kind of going with that. And then Mike Cook is actually going to be heading this up. Mike Cook is in the sound booth. He's the sound guy today. But he's going to be kind of heading this up and kind of getting everybody with the skills together so we can do this and load up our teams for that those couple weeks. And the game plan is, again, from July 10th to July 24th is to do this. And one reason why is because July 17th, we will not be having our 10 a.m. service. It was weird, right? But what we're going to do is we're going to utilize that day mostly for our work day, but we actually will still have a service. It will just be at 8 a.m. How many of you guys are like, love 8 a.m., right? Sunday morning, 8 a.m. is the time to go. Boy, yes, there's my morning people. But Sunday morning, July 17th at 8 a.m., what we're doing is we've actually got invited, as you saw from the announcements, we got invited to be a part of the community, to go beyond these four walls, and to be a part of the community with the Relay for Life outreach program, with the Relay for Life there. We're going to do their service at 8 a.m. And it's going to be at the Grove, which is the old Owens Corning Fiberglass Park, if you remember that. I remember specifically because I broke my wrist there when I was like in third grade, so I always remember that place. And then, there's a story behind that. Talk to me later for it. In regards to Father's Day. No, I'm just joking. But it's going to be there, and it's actually going to be on the river. So what we want to do is we want to do baptisms that day at 8 a.m. So it's going to be a time to celebrate with those who made a decision for Jesus. And if you haven't been baptized yet and you want to, it's going to be awesome. We can do it right in the river. But that's kind of what's going on. That's kind of everything in a nutshell. I want to give you that announcement before we really jump in. I will tell you this. Everything I said, there's a rough draft, like handwritten draft of a calendar that you can take with you that you can say, okay, this is kind of keep me in the phase of where things are. No, it may change a little bit, but grab one of those just so you know what's going on. And then I'll tell you, every Sunday night events will be canceled in July. So prayer and Connect Hangouts, they'll be canceled through July just for summer and because of the move. So that's on that calendar, but just want to give those things just a quick update on where we are. But really, all this stuff, if you think about it, is super exciting stuff. And if you look at this, I remember back in January, we kind of talked about our vision, and I had no clue where we were going, right? I just said, hey, we're called to love people to life change, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to love people. We're going to love people wherever God leads us and wherever God places us. And then out of this, just this dream came to be about this building. And really, right now, we are having a chance to live it out. We're having this chance really to live out the question of what if. And if you look at a dream, that's really what it is, right? A dream is simply the question of what if. And through this series, we've been challenged to dream in our lives, to ask what if, to dream for more than, and to rely on God for more than we can imagine. And as we learned about dreaming when we started this, we learned that to live out a dream, we have to move past our past. We have to move past our regrets. And we talked about how regret often keeps us from living out our full potential. And we learned that there's no regret that God cannot redeem. And then we talked about the whole journey of a dream. We talked about how the journey really prepares us for the destination. And how the journey is so important because it allows us to really grow in this dream. But to do that, we have to have a Christ-centered mindset. We have to be anchored into truth, and we have to slow down. And this is what I think is incredible about a dream. If you think about it, every dream is really created twice. If you look at every dream, it's created twice, right? First of all, it's created in our hearts or our minds. It's created in our hearts and minds, and then it's created again by what we do with that thought. I mean, every song that you've ever listened to, every building that you've ever been into, everything that's ever been designed, every piece of art, it was created in somebody's thought. It was created in somebody's heart. It was created then, and then it was created again by what they did with that thought. And I think to really live this out, to understand this, when we do something what's in our heart or what's in our mind, it allows us to experience for more of it. But really, it allows others to experience that as well. And I think the truth is this. I think we are called to be a change agent. In fact, that's what I want you to walk away with today. You are called to be a change agent. In your life, you're called to be a change agent. God has planted something inside of you. He has called you to do something on this earth. And I think for many of us, this is one of our biggest things that we wrestle with, right? So many times I hear people ask, you know, what's my calling? What does God have for me to do? What am I supposed to do in this life? And I think the very fact that we are asking that question, I think that means deep down we know that we are called to be a change agent. So today I want to spend some time really simplifying this question for you. And I want to help us just to walk through this and how you can live out your dreams. Because I think you can live out your dreams, live out what God has planned for you by just simply knowing exactly what He states in the Bible. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians 2, and we're going to look at verse 10. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me there. If you have your YouVersion app, you can go there as well. And again, I'd always challenge you to download this YouVersion app. It's an incredible resource that can keep you reading your Bible daily. And this is kind of going to be our memory verse today. So if you have your Bible out, or if you have your app, highlight this, make a note about it, mark it up a little bit, and then commit this to memory. Write it out a couple times, say it out loud a couple times, but really commit this and then live this and apply it to your lives. But it says this here in verse 10. It says, God has made us what we are. In Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. Like, this simplifies, man, what does God have for me to do? What's God's will for my life? Well, God made us to do good works. Simple. Everybody can walk out and say, you know, that was an easy message. I'm good to go, right? But God created us to do good works. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. That's why He put us here. That's why we have this purpose through Christ Jesus that He planned in advance for us. In other words, God put all these things together in advance for us because He knew us before we were even born. He knows our strengths and weaknesses. He knows our failures. He knows our successes. And He has a plan really according to how He created us. And we're created to do these good works. We're created and we're called to help redeem the world by bringing them back to Jesus. Again, Jesus died on a cross for each and every one of us. He lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and was risen again. And we are called to share that good news to help redeem the world. So let me ask you this question. I think this is one of the most challenging questions that we can ask ourselves ever. But what would you do to change the world if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you attempt if you knew you couldn't fail? Truth is, you are called to be a change agent. Let me just tell you this story of this young lady who really lived this out in their lives. She asked, really, how can I change the world? She asked this question, what would I do if I knew I couldn't fail? And then she became that change agent. See, this young lady, she actually decided to be a nun. So she did all the things that she needed to do to become a nun. She went to nun school or whatever she did to do that, you know. So she did all those things, right? And then she became a nun. So her next step was this. She had a dream that she was going to present to her superiors and say, this is what I want to do with my life. So she goes to her superiors and she takes her 3 pennies and she says, I want to build an orphanage to change the world with these 3 pennies. Now, here's this young lady. Her superiors are probably looking at her like, listen, like, you are off your rocker. I don't know what happened in old nun school, but you did a little too much of it. Like, that wasn't what we were there for, right? You're off your rocker. You can't do anything with three pennies. But this lady, she already decided to be a change agent. So her response was this. She said, I can do anything with three pennies and God on my side. Now, if you don't know who this lady is, she later in life went by the name Mother Teresa. And if you think about this, Mother Teresa took three pennies and the power of God, and she changed lives all over the world. She became a change agent, and her legacy continues to live on and will continue to do so because she dared to dream, and then she dared to live it out. She dared to be the change agent she was called to be. You are called to be a change agent. If you look at what Mother Teresa did, she focused on the equation of God plus three pennies. Really, God plus anything, really God plus even nothing equals the possibility of everything. God plus whatever we have in our hand equals possibility. And when we understand this equation, it allows us to become the change agent that He's called us to be, and we can truly live out our call. But I think far too often what we do is we just focus on what's in our hand, right? We look at what's in our hand and we think, man, I can't do that with three pennies. I can't do that with what I have in my hand. I can't do that with just this limited amount of things that only I can grab onto. And the truth is, you can't. You can't do anything with what's just in your hands. But with God, anything is possible. I think this is such a tough concept for many of us to really grasp. I think we might have heard this voice in our head that says, you know what, you're not good enough, right? You can't do that. You failed in the past. We may even listen to outside sources who are telling us the same thing. They're asking questions like, how are you going to do that? You can never do that. You've never done that before. How are you going to do this in the future, right? And we listen to these things. And then if we listen to these things, we all of a sudden realize that we're focusing in on just what's in our hand. And we say, you know what, I can't do that. I think for many of us, the simplest question of how can even stop us or burst our bubble of becoming a change agent, of dreaming for more than. And when you think about it, when you have a dream, the beginning process of the dream, it's really, really, really a vulnerable state. Like, I think a dream is kind of like a balloon, right? When we have a balloon here, what happens is a balloon is really easy to pop. I need two volunteers real fast. What we're going to do is we're just going to display this real quickly. So I need two volunteers. Eric Wilford, Bueller, Chandler Cook. Sorry, I saw your hand. It was hiding. All right, Eric, what I need you to do is I need you to blow up this balloon. And then tie it. I know it gets tricky. Hopefully you're one of those guys who can tie balloons. Chandler, you have scissors.
More?
No. That's probably good.
Turn it into a swamp.
Didn't even need Chandler. Apparently, let's try it again. I brought multiple balloons. Eric's
maybe not so big.
Maybe not so big. Eric's ear is a little on the tough side. Probably lose it up. All right, that's your dream, right? Now let go of it. All right, Chandler, try to pop it. Okay, easy, right? We're going to do something else here, too.
Hey, this balloon's just already moving on me.
Don't try to pop it yet, Chandler. I know you get excited. All right. So when Eric put his dream together with everything that he had, that balloon, it was filled with Eric's air. That balloon was, it was his balloon. He created it, right? I gave it to him. And then you blew it up. You tied it. You did all that stuff. It was all you. It was all you, right? And then you dropped it. And there's easy pop. Now, what if we took our dream, our balloon, and what if we added something else to it? What if we added the God factor to it? Eric, let go of your dream. Chandler, try to pop it. Good effort, Chandler. Good effort.
Throw it.
It's different, right? It gets off the ground. Let's give our people a round of applause, right? What happens, though, when we add God into the equation? It allows for the dream to get off the ground. Oftentimes, I think we try everything to do just by ourselves. We just say, you know, I'm going to put all my work in this dream. I'm going to put all my effort, and it's going to be all me. But we never really invite God into the how factor of it. So it never gets off the ground so somebody can come along and just pop it really quickly. But when we invite God, it allows it to rise to the top. It allows it to get off the ground. I think the truth is we don't really invite God because I think many times we wrestle with this lack of faith. We say that, you know, this thing's bigger than me. Or we need to say, you know what, I have to do this. I have to give it everything I've got. And we go and we struggle with that. And I'm going to be honest, this is, I struggle with this a lot too. Like I kind of break it down, there's two types of people in life. There's a how person and there's a wow person. Wow people are really dreamers. Whereas how people, they're really doers, they're thinkers, they think through stuff. And like you definitely need both, right? You need a wow person and you need a how person. I'm going to just say this. I'm a how person. Or I'm a wow person. Like I like to dream. I like just to think of some crazy idea and just say, let's rock and roll with this thing. Whereas my wife, Sarah, she's the how person. She's great to have by my side because there's things that we would have attempted that would have been completely nuts. Like I had these crazy ideas like, man, I could do this. Like, what if we got the kids on the roof of the house? We got a giant slingshot, right? And then we pull it back and we fling the kids up in the air. They would have a blast. It would be the most fun they'd ever had, right? So I'm thinking, this is a really cool dream. And I'm not like a glass half full person. I'm like a glass all the way full person. I'm thinking, this is going to be great. They're going to remember this for their lives, which could be really short if it wasn't for Sarah. And she asked one question. She asked, how? How are they going to land? Good question. You definitely need a how person. But it can deflate us sometimes. So right away, I'm thinking like, I can't do this. I can't send my kids off the roof, right? But really, what if we invited God into the how? What if we invited God to say, you know what? He can be that giant foam pit where the kids can land, right? That's the how to it. Inviting God into our dreams. I think many a times we don't do this, right? We think it's too hard or we just don't really invite God into it. Well, it's so important to invite God into the how. Because this is where he really wants us to be. This is where he wants to take our dreams and get them off the ground. But so far too often, I don't think we invite him. Instead, we just think, you know what, that's for somebody else. Somebody else can do that. That's somebody else's issue. Somebody else should take care of that problem, right? The government should take care of that problem. Oh, the church should take care of that. But the truth is, if we're a follower of Jesus and we see needs around us, it's our responsibility to help. And it's our responsibility to ask God, how can we do it? And allow him to work through us to become the change agents he's called us to be. You're called to be a change agent. And if you look at it, we're all given this ability to create and change. If you look at God, he was the creator of everything, right? In 6 days, he created the earth, and the seventh day, he rested. And it says that God created us in his image, meaning that he's given us the power to create as well. He's given us the power to make things new. He's given us the power to change. If there's a struggle in our family, he's given us the power to create that change there. If there's a struggle in our relationship with our wife or our spouse, he's given us the power to change that. He's given us the power to change maybe even a relationship with our kids or our parents. Father's Day can be a rough day for some people because it reminds you of a time where maybe you have a strained relationship with your father. But the truth is, God has given us the power to create change in each and every relationship that we have. He's given us the power to create change in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. He's even given us the power to create a change in ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verse 18, it says this. It says, our faces then are not covered. We all show the Lord's glory, and we are being changed to be like him. This change in us brings ever greater glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. If we are in Christ, the Holy Spirit is working in us to be changed to the image of God. And we reflect Christ more and more in our life the more we allow him to change us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is us reflecting who Jesus is. Because the truth is, we can't produce light, but when we look like Jesus, we can reflect him, which creates change in our life. You are called to be the change agent. And you think through it. How different would our lives look if we live this truth out? If we became a change in our lives, how different would our lives look? How different would our lives look if we walked into our workplaces and asked God, how are you going to use me today to become a change agent in this place? How can I be a change agent? Think if we live this out in our families, right? If we came to our families and said, man, how can I be a change agent in our families? How can I make a difference? Not just going along with the flow, but maybe going against the grain. Maybe we're changing something up. Maybe we're changing a problem that's been passed through generation, through generation, through generation. The truth is God's created us to make this change where we can break these things that have been strongholds in our families for generations. We can be a generation that breaks it because God's created in us this ability to change things, to create, because we are called to be a change agent. And to live this out, this is what we need to do. To be a change agent, number one, we need to live life for the glory of God. We need to live life for the glory of God. Everything we do, everything we do, everything we say, everything we act upon needs to be for the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, here's Paul, and he's writing to the church in Corinth. And he's really teaching them. He's talking about how they have all this freedom in Christ. But he's teaching them what they're supposed to do with this freedom. He's saying, you know what, it's more than just eating and drinking and being married. It's more than just doing anything and everything you want, but you're supposed to be a change agent. And he words it this way here in verse 31. He says, the answer is, if you eat or drink, or if you do anything, do it all for the glory of God. If you eat or drink, if you do anything, do it all for the glory of God. I think this is really the first step into becoming a change agent. This is the first step in really to taking our dreams and moving them to that place of reality. But if you think through this, even if you asked yourself this question, the answer might not be the greatest, right? Like, how many times did we really do anything, if not everything, under the glory of God this week? Like, how many times did we walk into work this week like, yes, I get to do this for the glory of God, right? I mean, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we probably still had a case of the Mondays on Thursday. The only reason we didn't have one on Friday was because it was Friday. Like, that's really the only reason. Oftentimes we go in there like, oh, I've got to do this. I've just got to go through the grind or whatever. But the truth is, God called you to be a change agent in that place. And he wants you to do everything for the glory of him. This means we need to walk into work, and this means that we need to be happy when we go there. This means even the little things. When we're brushing our teeth, we need to be all jacked up and excited because we get to brush our teeth under the glory of God, right? Whatever we do, anything we do is an act of worship. And God, every task that we do, whether big or small, is really a way that we can give him glory. And when we do this, it's moving us to that point of being a change agent. I think when we think of being a change agent, often we think it has to be something extraordinary. Like, it has to be something where it's super exceptional. But the truth is, it just means that we do everything under the Lord. It means that we do regular tasks exceptionally. It means that we do ordinary tasks extraordinary. Martin Luther King Jr. said it this way. He says, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. I think the truth is we can take everyday situations and we can turn them into an opportunity to change the world as long as we're giving and doing everything to the glory of God. That's the start of becoming a change agent. Number two, how we live this out is that we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to and for the Holy Spirit. See, God desires to lead us. God desires to guide us in our life. He wants us to walk this truth out of more than. And so many times, there's times in our lives where he's speaking to us in different ways. We just need to listen. We need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we'll grow more and more in faith, and we'll be able to understand and hear his voice more. When we hear that inkling and we are obedient to that, you know what? It helps our ears so that we can hear more. See, we are created by God to be a change agent by being led by the Holy Spirit. And when we're led by the Holy Spirit, he'll always bring new opportunities in our life. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, it says this. It says, but God has shown us these things through the Spirit. The Spirit searches out all things, even the deep secrets of God. The Holy Spirit reveals the deep things of God. The dream for more than that unknown area. That's what the Holy Spirit can reveal. The dream, the Holy Spirit can reveal. The how-to part of the dream, the Holy Spirit can reveal that and help us to utilize that to become the change agent God's created us to be. But we have to listen to that voice of the Holy Spirit. And this is how we listen to it. I think God speaks to us in different ways. I think the Holy Spirit speaks to us in different ways. There's times where you probably opened your Bible up and it was like exactly what you needed to hear, right? It's exactly what you needed to read. There's times probably where you open your Bible up and you're like, wow, really? Like, what does this mean? But there's times seriously where you probably felt the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the Bible. I think our Bible reading is a place where God can work through, where the Holy Spirit can work through. There's other times where maybe you're even listening to someone speak. Maybe even something like church. And you're here and you feel like, man, the Holy Spirit's talking to me today. That's the Holy Spirit. He can talk through all these different ways. It could be a conversation with a friend or a loved one or even a stranger. And they come and they just say something into your life. And you feel like, man, I'm really supposed to act upon that. I'm supposed to do that. That lines up with Scripture. That works. That's what I'm feeling. Like, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. There's times where you might be praying, right? And you just feel the presence of God just leaning you towards a certain direction. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to be obedient to it so that He continues to talk to us and we continue to act out. Again, it could be through a book. It could be a podcast. It could be many different ways, but the Holy Spirit is wanting to talk to us. We just have to pay attention. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Number three is we need to criticize by creating. This one seems a little bit different, but let me just tell you, criticizing by creating is not just criticizing. Like, it goes well beyond just being able to see the things that are wrong. It goes well beyond just pointing out a flaw. I think for many of us, it's easy just to pick out something that's wrong, right? To look at something, just pick it apart. We can walk in a room and we're going to say, you know what, that's going to be a problem there. Or here's an issue here. Or you know what, there's something that's definitely going to be a struggle that they're going to go through. Like, some of you probably already did this today, right? Like, you walked into church and you're thinking like, I'm going to come in here, I'm going to check some things out, and I'm going to critique it. And then in your head, you're thinking like, oh, well, that could have been better there. This guy mumbles and blurts out weird stuff, like, what's going on with him? You're critiquing all these things. And that could be a really good thing. Like, it's not necessarily bad. In fact, it's actually very good to have a critical eye. But what's the problem is when our critical eye turns into a critical heart. When our critical eye turns into a critical heart. And this is a struggle, too. And listen, I've been there. Like, I used to be the worst person to go to church with. When Sarah and I first started dating, we went to different churches. We were in different places. So we started just to visit churches around, right? And we were like, hey, let's just find something together that we can go to together. So we visited a couple churches. And I went there, and like, she probably just wanted to punch me. Because I went through there, and I'm like critiquing everything. I'm pulling everything apart. Like, this is terrible there. I'm taking notes during the sermon. But let me just tell you, the notes weren't anything that I was going to apply to my life. Like, they were notes of like, well, he prepared his sermon this way. This was just a soapbox. This was it. And I gave it to Sarah. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to hear it here. And she's like, what in the world is wrong with this guy, right? It's because I had a critical heart. I wasn't willing to do anything to help them. I just had a critical heart while I was looking at all the things wrong. I wasn't going to be a part of the solution. And that's the difference. A critical eye is okay as long as you allow that critical eye to lead you to be a part of the solution. Where a critical heart, all you're doing is really just complaining about something. You're complaining about a problem, but you're not being a solution to it. And let me just say this about a problem real quick. A problem is this. A problem actually is not this. A problem is not a difference of opinion. A problem isn't like, oh, well, they do it different than where I came from, right? That's not a problem. Or, you know, they do it different than what my preference is. That's not a problem. A problem is something that would hinder the dream for more than. What would happen, though, if we decided not just to have a critical heart, but we turn that and we criticized by creating? What if we became the solution for those problems, right? What if we became the change agent for the problems? What if we just vanilla iced it? You're thinking like, what is he talking about with vanilla ice? This isn't a thing, but this really needs to pick up. So what if we just vanilla iced it, right? And this is what vanilla ice is, right? If there's a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook on my DJ Revolves it. Ice, baby. Vanilla ice it. That's what we're gonna make that a thing here. That'll be a new slogan, right? But what if we're here and what if we're the solution to the problem? I think many times we look at it like, man, God, where are you at in this? Why are you allowing this to happen? Where are you, God? But really, God's looking down on us and he's saying, you know what? I've given you everything you need to fix that problem. Where are you at? Why are you not part of the solution? God's probably looking down on us and he's saying, just vanilla ice it. Come on, dude. I think that's what he's doing. And I think he's given us the ability to create and change for a reason. And we need to change. We need to be that change agent by really just criticizing by creating. And what if you really took that ability that God gave you, that critical eye? What if you took that and used it to begin to create? We need to live for the glory of God. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit, and we need to criticize by creating. And then number four is this. We need to plant and water seeds of faith. We need to plant and water seeds of faith. And this is what this means. It means that we need to act upon faith. We need to pray some big prayers. We need to take risk in our prayers. We need to take risk in the things that we ask God for. And we need to even take risk in the things we do. We need to pray like it depends on God, but we need to act and work as it depends on us. We need to pray, and then we need to do our very best. This is what honoring God looks like, and this is what planting seeds of faith look like. And to become a change agent, this is what we have to do. Because the truth is this. If you're big enough for your dream isn't big enough for God. You're not planting and watering seeds of faith if you're big enough for your dream. So let me ask you, when's the last time you planted and watered a seed of faith? When's the last time you prayed a bold prayer that unless God moved, it wasn't going to work out well? When's the last time you took a step of faith to believe God for something greater than? When's the last time you even served beyond your gift set? When's the last time maybe you even gave sacrificially? When's the last time you did these things? When's the last time you planted and watered seeds of faith? I think as a church, that's what we need to do. And again, there's multiple opportunities to do this here. If you're here and you saw the announcements, there's a lot going on. There's multiple opportunities to serve. We can serve by being part of the 4th of July parade. And what we're doing, that's the easiest thing we can do to serve, right? What we're doing is we got 1,500 Frisbees that came in the mail that we ordered this week. We're going to give them all away. So what are we going to do? I can serve God by throwing Frisbees at people. Handing Frisbees to people, sorry. We can serve God by doing that. We can serve God by being part of this 4th of July parade. We can serve God by being part of the Streetside Saturday schools going on in July, where we're really bringing just a Sunday school to these neighborhood kids on a Saturday. Right? Whether it's 2 kids, 15 kids, we're making a difference. We're serving God, and it could be outside of our comfort zone, but we can do that. Even on Sunday mornings, there's multiple opportunities. You can be involved by jumping in kids' life back there, on the tech team, first impressions team, ushers, whatever it is, you can jump in. And again, with this new building, like we talked about, there's opportunities to jump in with you have skills of painting, framing, drywalling, septic, plumbing, electrician, all these different things, cleaning, all these things. You can jump in and do this. And then, as you know, as a church, we've asked you to sacrificially give to be a change agent. See, I think God's called us really to this new building just to be a change agent. He hasn't called us to this new building so that we can have a new building, right? He hasn't called us to this new building so that, you know, we can say this is ours. But he's called us really to reach more people for Christ. He's called us to reach more family members, to reach more friends, to reach more coworkers, to reach more neighbors, to expand the kingdom. And to do this, we need to plant and water seeds of faith. And we can do this through giving sacrificially as well. If you would, you can pull out your dream pamphlet. And today's kind of the day where we're going to start this. Over the last few weeks, you heard me challenge you about giving sacrificial. Giving sacrificially. Well, today is kind of the first day of the next 6 weeks. We're going to ask you to give sacrificial so we can jump up and get this building fund. So over the next 6 weeks, our goal is this, is to raise $25,000 so that we can upgrade the building. And with your help, I believe they're going to be able to do all these items and these things that's needed in this building. $25,000 is going to cover carpet, paint, these divider walls, this stage, these booths that we're talking about, kids' check-in booth, the shelving, the paint, there's TV mounts that needs for kids, there's chairs, tables, all that good stuff, sound equipment, lighting, can lights for the room, all these different things is what this $25,000 is going to go to. Permanent signage, all these. And through this sacrificial gift, this is what we believe. We believe it will be used to be a change agent to bring the love of Jesus to people. These tangible things will turn into souls, right? And the sacrificial gift is really, again, it's different for each person. When I say sacrificial gift, it's different for each person. Again, if you look at Mother Teresa, 3 pennies, that was a sacrifice for her. But look what God did. God changed the world. Imagine what God could do with what you have and the sacrificial gift that you have. So our challenge today is that we start this, is that you make that pledge to have a sacrificial gift, and then you give as well. And I'm going to show you where we are right now. Where we currently are is actually, we currently receive $4,088.50. And I think this has actually changed from this morning because somebody already handed me a check that I didn't look at yet. But $4,000.88 as of yesterday is where we are. But what we have pledged is $13,024. So between received and pledged, we have $17,112.50. Like, that's incredible. And we're getting close. But we still need to raise $7,887.50 more. You break this down, it can break down to multiple different ways. It could be 8 people giving $1,000. It could be 16 people giving $500. It could be 30 people giving $40 for a week. Whatever it is, it could be one person giving $7,887. Whatever it is, it just breaks down, right? It breaks down into different ways. But I'm going to tell you this. Your sacrificial gift will go further than you could ever even imagine. Whether it's $5 or whether it's $7,887.50. It can go further than whatever you want. And you can break it down. But really what it is, it's planting and watering a seed of faith. So as we turn in our response cards today at the end of service, I ask you to turn in your sacrificial gift or to turn in your pledge as well. And to live that out so that we can dream for more than. And if you do write a check for this or if you put cash in an envelope, please mark building fund so that we can earmark that. If you give online, please mark the building fund there as well. But to be an agent of change, we need to live for the glory of God. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. And we need to criticize by creating. And then we need to plant and water seeds of faith. And the band would come up. Truth is, you are called to be a change agent. So let me ask you, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Maybe you're here today and you've had these dreams. And maybe you just utilized yourself, right? And maybe put it on the ground. It's never gotten off the ground. It's gotten popped. But now it's time to invite God into hell. Maybe for far too long you've been thinking, you know what, man? I'm not qualified for what God's called me to be. But the truth is, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Again, in Ephesians 2:10, it says, God has made us what we are. In Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives. You are called to be a change agent. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.